Hello everyone, thanks for tuning in to this Code Goa starter video. I'm Scruffy Fern. Today we're going to talk a little bit about Azure Multiplayer Backend. So right now, codename Goa is kind of in the full swing. We're coming up on the interim proposal. So this is kind of the time where we're starting to look at actually building our plans. So I thought we should probably come together and talk about a starting point. Basically, what's the easiest way I can get up and running with Azure in my game? So what I thought I would do today is we're going to walk through a few different things. We're going to talk about Azure VMs, so we'll do a quick little brief overview of that. We'll talk about Photon Server, because that's what we're going to actually use for our backend today. Then we're going to actually go through the process of creating an Azure VM, followed by installing and configuring the Photon Server on that newly created VM. And finally, I'm going to show you how to build a very, very simple game. I wouldn't even call it a game, I'd call it a prototype or concept, to show off how to use this inside of Unity, which is really, really cool. So we'll dive right in, get started. So let's talk a little bit about Microsoft Azure VMs. So what's really cool about VMs, and a lot of times I hear people when I talk to them about these VMs, they automatically think that Microsoft only supports Microsoft products. And that's not the truth. The case is they actually have full suites of Linux servers ready to go in the marketplace. With one click, you can launch them. Literally within minutes, you could have a Windows server or a Linux server up and running, no problems. The really nice thing about it is it also scales. So if you have one VM running and suddenly, you know, your game becomes very, very popular and you need a bunch of new instances, it'll grow with you and it'll grow automatically, which is really, really helpful. There's also built-in virtual networking and load balancing. So if you end up creating a bunch of different servers, you can actually set them up so they have a network internally, as well as have load balancing set up to mitigate any issues. If you have a sudden onslaught of users in a certain region, you can use load balancing to kind of mitigate some of that. Of course, they have per minute billing, which is fantastic. So it means it keeps costs down, right? If you were to try to build something like, you know, an Azure capable like of that power on-prem, you're going to spend thousands and thousands of dollars and literally hours and hours of manpower just to get that up and running, right? It's going to cost you a lot of money. So this is a great way to get started without having, you know, to empty your wallet just to get a server up and running. And let's be honest, right? If you're doing an event like Code Goa or, you know, any hackathon or something like that, the last thing you really want to be worrying about is infrastructure. You kind of want to work on the game and focus on the game. So being able to fire up a Linux or Windows server as your backend in minutes is a huge, huge help. And of course, like I said, they have really, really strong open technology support. You know, you got Ubuntu on there, you got SUSE, Docker, Chef, everything you could possibly think of that you can use is probably in the marketplace and literally installs with one click. So fantastic service. Definitely check out a little bit more on the website. They go into a little bit more details about all this, as well as costs and stuff like that. So definitely check that out if you're interested. Okay, so that's a little bit about Microsoft Azure VM. So now I want to talk about the actual service that we're going to be running on this VM. So what Photon Server does for is it basically gives you your own socket server. So what's really cool about this is it's basically a turnkey multiplayer framework. So I can launch this on Azure, fire it up, connect my game, and it's got support for things like lobbies, it's got support for things like rooms, cheat detection, load balancing right out of the box, which is fantastic. It's also redistributable. So if you want to include it in your project, you can actually pass it around in the install package with no problems there. Completely cross-platform. I'm blown away by how well this works on all different platforms. In fact, we're going to show you a demo and a little bit of a game that I created that works on Android devices, works on iOS devices, Windows phone devices, consoles, as well as PC. And what's really cool is they can all compete together in the same game in the same rooms, which is absolutely awesome. It also has a lot of SDKs for a bunch of different middlewares. So today we're going to be taking a look at the Unity version, but there's also ones out there for Corona, for Marmalade, for Flash, for PlayStation, for Xbox, Unreal, like the list just goes on and on and on. So check out their website. I'm pretty much guarantee if you're using a framework, they've got a solution for you there. Another really cool thing is it has a very strong client-to-server architecture. It has support for things like reliable UDP, TCP, HTTP, and WebSockets, which allows you to have the ability to have like a web-based game playing with someone on a console and stuff like that. So very, very cool. And like I said, completely scalable, out-of-the-box load balancing, which is absolutely fantastic. So definitely a really cool backend. And what I like about it is, like I said, it's a turnkey solution. We can fire up our Azure VM, we can drop this in, we can get started on our game and not have to worry about too much about the infrastructure on the back end. Okay, so I'm going to actually invite in a helper here because I want to demonstrate a game that I created as part of a Ludum Dare a few weekends ago. I was trying to get used to the ins and outs of the Photon system, so I decided to build a little game to test it all out. Thank you for joining me.
No problem. So what are you playing today?
We're going to play a little game that I created called Smashing Carts. It's kind of funny. We decided, I was sitting down and I wanted to build some sort of concept to kind of show off all these cool things that you can do with Photon. And I thought, well, I'll just make a Mario Kart clone.
All right.
So I was working on that and I asked a friend of mine to test it. He was in a different location. I thought, we'll test the network out and see how that works. And we started playing, and inevitably we just started running into each other, right? Because we had these two cars on the screen, and we were just having a blast and laughing about it. So I kind of decided, hey, let's just make that the game. Let's just run into each other. So basically all the game is you're going to have a car that you can control.
All right.
You drive around, you try to run into each other, and the person with the that is the last man standing wins the game.
Perfect.
Pretty simple. So you're going to be playing it on the Windows Phone today, just because I wanted to show off that this is cross-platform. It does work on multi-devices. So you're going to play on the phone, and I'm going to play on the PC. But we're going to actually play in the same room, which is really, really cool. So let me fire this up here. So here we are. We're in the game. I got it up and running here. So basically what it's going to ask for first is your player name. So I'm just going to punch in Scruffy Fern. Oop. Can't even spell my own name right there. So now, right now, you notice that there is a game listed. And what's really cool about this is, that's why I loved the Photon system, was it had all this pretty much built in, right? So it has the ability to create a join room function. It has a create room function. And also has a join random room function. So it's really, really cool. So what I could do here is, if I wanted to, I could join a random room. I could make a new room if I wanted to. Or I could just simply join the room that you're already in. So I'll do that. I'll join the room that you're already in.
I say.
Now, this is a very, very early prototype, so there is a lot of different little bugs in here. Like I said, did this in 48 hours. But basically, what you're seeing here is, you know, we're both driving.
Yep.
Oh. Yep. Just try to run into you here.
Smash it.
So there you go. It basically, it's a very simple game. But it does show the ability to have, you know, multiple devices, multiple players running.
I was able
to create this in 48 hours, which was absolutely fantastic. So yeah, it's a pretty cool game. It's live online. I actually put a web browser version of this in, which is also running on Azure. So you can play it if you feel like. It's at scruffyfern.com/smashingcarts. Carts is with a K. So feel free to join in if you want to test it out later on. I'll leave that up and running. Thank you very much, Lojo. Appreciate it. Thanks for showing that off. I know that was a really, really basic example, but like I said, it was done in 48 hours, which really shows the power, right? If you're trying to build a multiplayer game, that usually takes weeks on its own just to get the back end up and running. And I was able to do all this and actually get a full-fledged game with win-loss conditions and everything up and going in 48 hours. So it kind of speaks to the ease of use of Photon, if you will. So let's actually go ahead and let's start creating some of these assets that we're going to need. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to actually create a Azure VM. So I've gone to the portal site. I'm at portal.azure.com, and I'm actually going to use the new portal. It's still in preview, but it's pretty much completely supported, and in my opinion, it looks really, really cool. So what we're going to do here is, once you're on the site and you've logged in, you're going to go up to New, and it's going to show Compute. Select Compute. And then what's really cool here is it gives you a list of already pre-built, basically, systems that you can fire up and get going right away. These are all in the marketplace. So if I wanted to, I could literally just click Ubuntu server here, and it will launch it and install it automatically. Also, if I click marketplace, you'll see that there's a lot more listed. It's not just Ubuntu that's available. If I scroll down a little bit more here, if you take a look at Linux-based, you know, we have Core OS. You've got SUSE is in this list as well. There's a bunch of different things. Puppet Enterprise, CentOS. So very, very cool. Lots of different options. But for us, we're going to just stick with Windows Server. And the reason for this is Photon actually requires a Windows Server. So if we click Windows Server here, over here in the list, we'll also have a bunch of different choices. For us, what we're going to do is we're going to select Windows Server 2012 R2 Data Center. This is the most up-to-date version of Windows Server 2012. So once it pops up, it tells you a little bit about it and has some links if you wanted to check it out. We're just going to go ahead and click Create. And now it's going to ask for a few things. The first thing is it wants the host name. So for our host name, I'm just going to call this Code Goa Demo. Then for username, I'm just going to give myself a quick username. So Scruffy Fern. Enter a password. Now, when we come down here to pricing tier, there's a bunch of different options. These are the recommended ones. If you actually click View All, it'll give you the entire list that you can pick from. What I suggest is that you start out with the A1. The reason for this is A0 is a shared core. So you're actually sharing processor with someone else's instance, which may or may not be the greatest thing, especially when you're working with multiplayer games, and it can take a little bit of a load on the PC there. So what I've done is I picked A1, which gives us a full core to ourselves, and it also gives us 1.7 gigabytes. From here, you're actually able to scale, right? So if my game needed to, I could scale all the way up to, you know, A8 here with 8 cores and up to 56 gigs, and actually keeps going right up to A11 now with this 16 cores and 112 gigabytes of RAM. So as you can see, there's a lot of room to grow there. That's why I actually picked the A1 tier. If you pick the other tier, it won't scale. It's more or less for just testing. So if I was just going to have just this game and I wasn't going to actually use it as my publication backend, I might go with the standard A0 and just test it out remotely and play around with it like that. And then once I was able to go to a production stage, I would actually move up to the A1. But for us, I'm just going to select A1 for now, just because I know we might have an extra little bit of load with people joining. So I'll hit select that. And then if I scroll down, it's going to ask for location. So you basically want to pick the location that's closest to you. For me, Eastern US is obviously the closest, so I'm just going to select that one. And then just hit create. And this is actually going to go ahead and create the server for us. So this will take a couple of minutes. Won't take too long. And then we can get, we'll actually go ahead and connect to it, and we'll install the Photon server. Okay, so after that loads up, it'll actually pop open here. It'll say success, and you'll get this nice little screen here. Basically, this is your overview, or the dashboard for your virtual machine. So it's great, it's up and running, everything's good, but we want to actually connect to it. So it's really easy to connect to. All we're going to do is click the connect, and this is going to download a RDP file, which we can actually just open. And that's actually going to go ahead and actually launch the remote desktop application for us and connect. It's going to ask me for my information. I'm going to use another account because I set up my credentials differently than as my Microsoft account. So my username is Scruffy Fern. And then I'm just going to put in my password here. Oh, apparently my password was wrong. Then it's just going to ask, do you want to, you know, accept the certificate? I always just say yes, don't ask me again. Okay, so there's our server up and running. We've logged into it. You'll notice up here at the top, it has a couple of important little bits of information, like what's your host name, your public IP, how much time you've been up, things like that. It also fires up the server dashboard. So if you wanted to add some functionality to the server, you can do it through here. But we won't actually go into that today, so I'll just close that out. So that's great. So that's our VM up and running. So now we need to get the Photon server up and running inside of our VM. So this is actually really, really easy to do. What we're going to do is I'm just going to minimize this, and I'm going to go back to my computer here. If we go to the Photon site, which is exitgames.com, and you go to the on-prem or server up here at the top, the kind of purpley colored one, it'll bring up a list of SDKs when you click on it. The first one here is the server. This is for on-prem. This is the one that we're going to actually use. You might be thinking, well, it says right there there's an Azure server version. What that was originally designed for was for Azure worker roles, which is a really neat little feature. Unfortunately, it's using older SDKs from Azure and isn't compatible with the newest version of Visual Studio and stuff. So hopefully, if Photon's out there listening, hopefully they can update that as soon as possible, because it's an absolutely fantastic system that doesn't require you using a VM, which is fantastic. But like I said, unfortunately, it's not working with the newest SDKs. So the one that we do want is the one that's listed under server, and this is for running, on local servers, as well as you can see there, it says Azure VMs in the listing. So you click that, and it's going to go ahead and download. I've already done that. It's actually on my desktop, so I'm just going to shrink out of this here, and I'll just go back to my desktop. So here I have it on my desktop. Is where I saved it. I'm just going to copy this, and then I'm going to go into my VM, and on my desktop, I'm just going to click paste. And believe it or not, that's actually going to copy over the file from my host computer onto my VM. Can't be much easier than that, right? So after a few seconds here, it'll copy it over. And there we go. So now we have it on our VM. So now we actually have to install this. So if we double click here, and I click extract. What I'm going to do is I'm not going to put it on my desktop because it'll just empty into that folder. I'm actually going to give it its own destination. I'm going to put it on the C drive, and I'm just going to give it a folder called Photon. And if I hit extract, it'll actually go ahead and extract that for me. Okay, great. So now it's extracted, so we'll go into our File Explorer. We'll go to our C drive, into our Photon here, and you'll notice you have a bunch of different stuff. The one that we're looking for is actually the deploy, and then because I'm running a Windows 64-bit version on my server, I'm going to actually go into the bin underscore win64, and I'm looking for Photon control. So I'm going to double-click that to launch it, and this is going to launch down here in the taskbar. If you notice, I now have a task icon for Photon. So Photon is now, it's just loading up, just giving a second there. So Photon is now set up. Right now it's saying I don't have a license. Oh, yes, I almost forgot about this. This is one thing that is very important. If this is a fresh install, there's one thing that you need in order for Photon to work, and that is .NET Framework 3.5. So in order to do that, we actually have to go into the Windows feature and the control panel and actually enable that. So we'll do that. We'll go to Control Panel. We'll go to turn on Windows features on and off. So right here, once it loads up, number two is the Add Roles and Features. If we select that, it'll bring up our little wizard here. Oh, brought two of them up. Just going to click Next. Just asking us, basically what this is if you wanted to add roles to a bunch of different servers, this is how you would do it. But for us, we only have the one server. So if we just select that server and then click Next, it'll actually pop up. And now we can actually go in and select what we want to add. So like I said, we need .NET. 2.5, so we'll scroll down. Oh, I was in the server roles. We want to actually be in features. So on the side here, if we click features, there we go. Now right up at the top, it says .NET Work Framework 3.5 features. That's the one that we're looking for. So I'm just going to go ahead and click that and then hit Next. Just click install, and after a few seconds it'll actually have this installed. Okay, so once that finishes installing, we can go ahead and click close here on this, And that's going to it's basically installed the .NET framework that we need in order to run Photon. So now we can go back and relaunch Photon. Oh, it already says it's running, so we'll just close it, just so we can make sure. So double-click it to rerun it. And it's just going to start up. And you'll notice right off the bat it pops up, it says no Photon license found. And it's only going to let us have 20 concurrent users. Now when you sign into the Photon site, you'll notice it takes you to a page that lets you download other licenses. One is for 100 concurrent users, which is completely free, which to be honest is pretty good for most indie developers when they're first starting out and trying to build their prototype. As well as they also offer a free 30-day license for unlimited concurrent users. So when maybe you hit your launch time, you can use that free 30 days for that to have unlimited amount of connections. So to start out with, if you don't add any license, in fact, I'm not going to add one here, it allows 20 concurrent users, which is more than enough for debugging purposes. So down here at the bottom, if we right-click on this, it'll bring up the Photon Control menu. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to actually use their load balancing app, which is a pretty much complete backend. It's what's got all the room components to it, being able to separate people into different regions, anti-cheat detection, as well as pre-built load balancing. So you don't have to worry about all of that. It'll automatically create new instances as needed. So I'm going to go ahead and start that application. And that's going to actually go ahead and fire up the server and get everything started. In fact, you'll notice I now have a log folder, which is where all the logs are going to be stored. If I go back and hover over it, you'll now see that it says Photon running, and it tells you how much memory it's using. And in fact, it's not using a lot of memory. No one's connected, of course, but just, basically it's only using 34 megs, so that's not too bad at all. If we right-click on this again, there's a couple other things that we need to do in here. First is we need to set our game server IP to our public IP. So if we go over here and we just click on the set public IP, it'll set it to the IP that Azure has given us to face the rest of the world. So let's click that, and there we go. We've set the IP, so now people can actually connect to us. And then one other thing that I want to show you is if I right-click on this again, you can actually install this as a server, as a service. And what that allows you to do is, say the for some reason your VM went down or needed a restart or whatever it might be, the service is going to fire up automatically as the computer starts. So you don't need to log back into your VM and go through the Photon control and turn everything on in order for that to just automatically happen. So I highly recommend that once you move past just the debug phase and the prototyping phase, that you actually install this as a service. You can also do the same thing with Photon. You can also auto-start the Photon control so that when you enter, it'll automatically be running down here in the taskbar. So yeah, that's all you really need to do on that side for Photon to get everything up and running. We legitimately now have a Photon socket server running, waiting for us to connect to it. So there's one more thing that we need to do on the Azure side before we can start building our game to use this backend. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go back to my portal here. And I'm going to I'm still on my dashboard for my VM. If you're not, go, you can go to Browse All and find it. What's really cool is I've actually pinned this to the desktop or to the dashboard. So when I first go into my portal, it's right there for me. So in here, what I want to do is I want to go to All Settings. And I want to scroll down until I see Endpoints and click that. And what we're going to do is we're going to create endpoints, basically open up ports that allow our server to talk to our clients and get through all of our firewalls. So what we're going to do here is we're just going to add a bunch of new ones. So we're going to need 4 UDP ports, and we're going to need 2 TCP ports. These ports, once they're open, will basically work for pretty much everything from using Unity, as well as using the web player, or if you had an HTML5 game, this would also work as well, because we're opening up all the ports that are necessary for all those things. So we'll go to add, and then it's going to say what's the endpoint. So we're just going to call this one Photon on 1. Protocol is going to be UDP. Our public port, the first one we're going to start with, is 5055, and the private port will be the same. And then all we have to do is click OK. After a second or two, it'll add it. And you can always tell if it's doing something. If you look over here in your notifications, and I click notifications, it'll actually say, hey, I'm adding a virtual machine endpoint to you. So it keeps track of everything that's happening. Okay, so once that's finished, you'll actually see it pops over here in the side and say success. And now we have Photon 1 listed in our list. So now we can add a new one. So we'll go and add another one. This time we'll say Photon 2. We'll set this to UDP. The public port will be 5056, and again, private port will be the same. We'll click OK on that one, and we'll just wait for that one to install, and we'll add it in our next one. All right, so that one's done, so now we're going to add a few more. So we're going to add another one. This one will be Photon 3, protocol is UDP. And I'm pretty sure you can sense a pattern here. We're going to go 5057. And private port is 5057. Click OK. And we have one more UDP to add, and then two more TCPs. All right, so that one's added. We'll do our last UDP one here. So we'll call this one Photon 4. Protocol's UDP. And 5058 is our port. There we go. So that takes care of the UDP. So now we're going to add our TCP. So once this UDP is finished creating. Okay, so our UDP is done. So now what we're going to do is we're going to add a couple more. This one I'm going to call Photon TCP1, just so I can keep them separate. We're going to leave the protocol at TCP, and we're going to set the port to 843. Our public port is the same thing, 843. We'll click OK on that. Okay, so our first TCP one is done, so we'll just add one last endpoint here. We'll call this one Photon TCP2. Our public port is going to be 943, and private port will also be 943. So we click OK, and that takes care of our endpoints. So once that's finished, we're all set to go. And now we're set up that, you know, any console connect, any PC, Mac, whatever it might be, can connect if it has availability for UDP, as well as we've also set up TCP, which is what's going to support our WebSockets and stuff like that. So by having all these backend, or having all these endpoints open on our backend, any client is able to connect to our service this way. Okay, so that's all taken care of. So the last thing that we need to do is close out of our endpoints here and our settings. What we're going to do is we're going to actually restart our VM. The reason for this is because we just set up a bunch of endpoints. We want to make sure all of those are connected as well. So I'm just going to go ahead and click restart on our VM. So this will actually, right now it's stopping it. You can see your status right there. And it'll just take a few seconds to restart here. And then we're going to go ahead and go back into it and take care of a couple of other things as well. Okay, so now our VM is back up and running. Once you see your status say running here. So we're going to connect to it again. I'm just going to click open here. And again, it asked me for my password, and I'll just punch in my password here. And the reason we're logging back in is because I need to restart the server. And like I said, if I would have installed it as a service, I wouldn't have to actually do this every time the VM restarted. So again, like I said, I highly recommend that you install it as a service once you get out of the phase of prototyping. Just let it finish opening Server Manager here. And I'm just going to close out of that because we don't need that right now. I'm going to go back to my C drive, so I'll open up my Folder Explorer here, back to my C drive, photon deploy bin 64 and just open up my photon controller again. And like I said, you can also make the photon run as an on application start as well. So when you first boot up the computer, this would already have done that for you. And then once it's gone ahead and booted up, we're going to right click on it and restart our load balancing application. So now if I hover over it, it says photon running. And all the other settings will remain the same. If I hover over game server IP config here, you'll notice that it still has my public set. So we're all good. Photon's up and running. Our endpoints are set. So our server is now ready for our game. So now let's just minimize this here. And let's go ahead and open up Unity. So now we're going to actually go ahead and build a Unity game. Very, very simple prototype here that shows off how to get started anyway. There, you can go a lot deeper with this. And in fact, I will make the code for the cart game there I have available for you guys to dig through. We've done some things like predicting movement and stuff like that that you might want to check out. So I'm just going to create a new project. It doesn't matter what it's called. I'm just going to leave it new project for. I'll go to create project. And we're going to have a nice new empty project here. So the first thing that I do whenever I create a new project is I go to import package, custom package, and I import Visual Studio Tools for Unity just because I love my Visual Studio. So I'll just import that package real quick so I have that. And now I have Visual Tools at the top there, and I'll just create some project files just so everything's ready to go for that. Now what we're going to do is we're going to actually start installing what we need for Photon. So I'm going to go to the Asset Store. Control-9 is the shortcut. And I'm going to search for Photon PUN, which is Photon Unity Networking. And if I hit Enter, it'll bring up a bunch. But the one we're looking for is the free one here. If you notice, it says free multiplayer. They do have a plus version, which adds some extra functionality. But in our case, just to get started, we can get going pretty quickly with the Photon free version. So I'm going to click that. I'm just going to go ahead and click import. Now, one thing to note, if you are using Unity 5, you will be able to export to all platforms, whether you have personal or pro. But in the case that you have Unity 4, if you're still using Unity 4, you need a Unity Pro license in order to be able to export to iOS and Android. So you have to have an iOS and an Android professional edition in order to be able to push to those if you're on Unity 4. Unity 5, no worries, works with everything. So right here, it's importing everything. It has a bunch of demos. Feel free to install them and go through them. They're actually fantastic, but in our case, we're not going to use that today. I'm going to walk you through just simply how to set things up, so we don't need the demo part there. So I'll just make sure everything else I need is selected. Yep, perfect. And I'll go ahead and click import. So I'm just going to close the asset store there. So once it imports, it pops up with a PUN setup wizard. What it's asking for is an app ID or email. Now, if you had like Photon Cloud or you were using their service, their paid service, you would enter that. But for our case, we're basically using Photon on-premise. If you look here at the bottom of the last bullet point, basically all we need to do is just skip this step. So we click skip and then just click close. But you'll notice here over on the side in my inspector, it's now opened up the Photon server settings. So this is where we're going to actually set what the server is that we're connecting to. So I'm going to go to hosting and click self-hosted. And then it's going to ask me for the server address. So I called mine code goa demo. And then the host name is always .cloudapp.net. So that's actually going to go ahead and connect to my server here. If you notice up at the top, it says code goa demo.cloudapp.net is the actual server that I'm connected to. So that's what we want to actually input here. So once we have that, we can just go ahead and move on to something else because that's all set up. So now what we're going to do is, we'll just set up a little scene so we can actually have something move around. So first thing I'm going to do is I'll create a 3D object cube, which will be our main player. What we'll do here is we'll add a rigid body to him so we can do some physics on him. So we'll do add a rigid body. And that's pretty good. Now what I'm going to do is I have a little character controller script on my desktop. I'll just drag that in. I'll just drag and drop that into my scene here. Okay, so now we have a cube in our scene. I'm going to drag and drop my player controller script onto him. Actually, I can just go add component scripts and player controller will now be listed in here. Select that. And I'm just going to give him a default move speed of about 5. So that'll let me move my character around. If we were to run this right now, unfortunately, our cube's just going to fall through the ground because he does have physics on him, but there's nothing to stop him. So let's just go ahead and add a quick little terrain. So 3D object, terrain. There we go. Now we have some terrain. So we'll move our cube. Oh, put terrain on cube. That's not what we want. There we go. Now we'll just move our cube so he's not on the corner. So he's actually somewhere in the world. There we go. Perfect. Okay, so now we have our player in there, and if we click run, the camera is still off in the distance, but as you can see, he won't fall through. And there we go, just running, you know, my cube sitting on the ground off in the distance there. No big deal, but I can actually move my character around if you can see. So we actually have some movement there, which is good. So in essence, we basically have a player. Don't really like the white background though, so let's go back to our asset store just so we have something to kind of not make our eyes bleed there. So if I go to back to my asset store, I'm just going to do free textures. There's probably a pile of free textures in here. Here we go, free seamless textures. That sounds like it'll work. We'll just download that. Okay. All right, so once that's gone ahead and downloaded, we're going to go ahead and import it. So I'm just going to click import. Oh, I think I'm still in play mode. I can hear a beep in the background. Yes, I'm still in play mode. So I'll just click stop on that. And click import. And I'll just bring them all in. I don't know which one I really want to use, so I'll just drag them all in for now. Okay, so now that we have all that imported, I'm just going to close the asset store here. Go back to my project. Now you'll notice I have my seamless textures imported. So we'll go back to our scene. Click on our terrain here. And I'm just going to add a quick little texture to it. So I'll go to add textures. And we'll select, hey, grass looks good, why not? And then we might as well add a normal map since we have it. All set. And there we go. So now, you know, we're not looking at a white cube on a white background. So perfect. Now the next thing we need to do is we're going to add the camera to the cube. I'm just going to rename this from main camera down to camera. Didn't catch my change there. There we go. And now I'm just going to like kind of move it so that it's not completely off there. Kind of get a little closer to our cube so we can kind of see our cube a little bit better. There we go. Why not give it a little rotation looking down on them? There we go. So perfect. So now we can actually move our cube around. We have a camera attached to them, so that's good. So now what we're going to do is we're going to save our cube into our resources folder as a prefab. So I'm just going to drag and drop it into my resources folder. And there's a reason for this is because when we instantiate in our Photon, we need to be able to call the prefab And the best way to do that is to have it in the resources folder so that everybody has access to it. So that's what we've done there. So now what I can do is I'm going to actually add a empty game object here, and I'm just going to call this manager. And what we're going to do here is we're going to attach our network code to this actual manager so that everybody has access to it in the scene. So if I go to add component, we'll go down to new script, and we're going to call this one, let's call it random match maker. Okay, and we're going to open up that. Okay, so inside here, we're going to go into our assets, and we'll open up our random matchmaker file, and we're going to make a couple of modifications here. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to change it from a mono behavior to a photon.pun behavior, and this is going to give us access to certain functions, basically like how Unity has these events that fire off, like start and update. Photon also has certain events like that we need access to, so that's why we're changing the photon pun behavior instead. So now what we're going to do is in onStart, what we'll do is we'll add our connection. So we're going to actually basically connect to our Photon server here. So we'll say Photon network. So Photon network dot connect. Using settings, and we're going to pass in an argument that basically is our game version, and this is arbitrary, but what this allows you to do is basically lock certain clients out from communicating with other clients. So if you made a major update, you went from 1 to 2, if the other clients don't have the certain code, you can lock them down to only be able to play with clients of their same version. So for us, I'm just going to say 0.1 and close that out with a semicolon. So there we go. That's going to connect for us. On start, it's automatically going to connect. And then what we'll do is we'll just remove our update here. And we'll add just a little on GUI so we can kind of see what's going on as we're doing our updates, if we need to do debugging or whatever it might be. So I'll add my on GUI. And here I'm just going to add a GUI layout label. And I'm just going to have it display photon network dot connection status detailed, so it'll tell us exactly what's going on, and I'll just convert that to string using the to string method there, so that what's going to happen is every on GUI update it'll just let us know what's going on with our photon network and print it out for us. Definitely handy as we move forward. Okay, so now what we need to do is we need to actually fire off some code when we actually join, because right now we've connected, but we're not doing anything after we've connected. So now it would just basically say joined lobby if we fired it off, but wouldn't do anything. So what we'll do is we'll add a little code to fire when we actually enter a lobby. So we're going to use the override system here, just basically because we want to override the already existing onJoin lobby. Just going to remove some of that stub code there. And what we're going to do here is we're just going to call the Photon network built-in function that lets us join a random room. So this is join any room that's open and available to us. So perfect. So if we were to fire this off right now, we'd be able to connect and we would join a random room if there was a random room available. If there's not, we're going to throw an error because there's no rooms created. And our join random room doesn't actually create a room. So what we're going to have to do is catch, basically catch the error and do something based on it. So what we're going to do here is we're going to add a little function to handle the error. So void on photon, we'll do random join failed. Like I said, this is a built-in function, much like the ones for Unity, that gets fired off. Think of it as kind of like a event handler, so to speak. So this is going to fire off. If we click, we join, and it says, okay, I'm in a lobby. I'm going to fire off this join random room. It fires it off. There's no random rooms available, so we get an error. So it's going to launch this little bit of code here. So we'll say debug just so that we know it happened. Log. I can't. Join room. Actually, say can't join random room. So that'll just print out a little message in our debug log letting us know that it happened. And then what we'll do is we'll create a photon room by doing photon network, create room. And we'll just pass in null for the name. So now what will happen is when we join, if we get into the lobby and we try to create a random room, if there's no room available, it's going to fire off our phone, our on photon random join failed, and it's going to actually go ahead and create a new room for us. So that's all we need to do for our random matchmaker, and this is going to go ahead and basically add us to the game as needed. So the next step is to basically set up our prefab to be a network player. So we'll go back into Unity here. And in our cube, we're going to add a new component. We're going to add the, if I scroll down to photon networking, we're going to add a photon view. Now, for those familiar with Unity networking in general, this is very much similar to the network view inside of Unity. And what we're going to do here is we're going to add an observed component, and this is what's going to cause the data to be basically passed around. And we're going to observe whatever object it is that we want to move, and based on that, we can share the data with other users. So what we'll do here is we'll drag and drop the rigid body, because we want to observe the rigid body of this object that we're on. And basically, this will allow us to view all the movements if we connect with another player. So we have one more thing that we need to do because, well, we have all this, but we have no way of basically instantiating or creating the player, right? Our player is all set up, and actually I should apply this to the prefab. But what will happen right now is we'll join, but nothing will happen because no player is created. So we'll go back into our code, into our random matchmaker, and in our onJoin room, we're going to add a new function, so we'll call this function void onJoined room. And again, this is another built-in function for Photon. And when this fires off, this is going to fire off basically because we've joined a room, much like the onJoin lobby function. We're going to say in here, we're going to say game object. Cube is equal to, so we're instantiating it to photon dot instantiate. And then we're going to pass in a little bit of information. So the first thing we need to do is pass in the prefab name. And that's why we put it inside of the resources folder so that everybody has access to it. So we say, you know, its name is cube. Where we want it to spawn in the world. So I'm just going to say new vector 3, and I'm going to pass in 10, 1. So he's just a little bit above the ground when he starts, 10. And finally, we'll pass in his rotation. So we'll do quaternion, and we'll just do an identity. So he comes into the room basically looking forward. And then last thing is group, and since he doesn't belong to any group at this point, we'll just add 0. So that's the code that we need to basically create the cube in our world. So now, if we were to launch this, I'm actually going to remove cube from our world, since he's a prefab. If we launch this, you'll notice here we connect to the game server, and then we have nothing happen because we're not enabling any cameras. There's nothing on the scene, right? The cube doesn't know, hey, I should turn myself on or anything like that. So we've actually joined, but we can't do anything yet. So we're going to basically set up the controls so that only one player can control that object at a time. So we'll go back to our resources and in our cube. And there's a couple of things that we want to do in here. The first thing that we want to do is we want to turn off our player controller by default. So this way, we have to actually turn it on when we create it so that we can set who has control. So I'll just remove the check mark on that. Then the next thing I want to do is go to my camera, and I'm just going to turn off my camera. And this is basically going to let me, so I can actually go ahead and turn the camera on when I become that player and view it through his eyes, so to speak. So then what we're going to do is we're going to go back over. And we're going to go to our onjoined room. And we're going to add a little bit of code in here to basically turn on those things that we just turned off. So I'm going to go character controller. Oh, I'm sorry. I believe I called it player controller. Yes. So player controller is the name of my script that controls my player. And we'll call that controller. Now we actually have to get that from the cube. So we'll say cube dot get component. And then we're looking for a player controller. And that will return the controller script that's attached to the cube. So then we'll just say controller dot enable, which will actually turn it on. There we go. So there we go. Now we've actually turned it on. So then we need to do the same thing for the camera. So we'll say camera. And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to do a get component in parent. Get component in children. I'll just make sure that spell that right. So get component in children, because the camera is actually a child of the cube. It's not attached directly to the cube. It's attached to a game object that is attached to the cube. So that's how we're going to find that, is we're going to do get component in child or in children, and it'll actually pull up the one that we want. And same thing, we'll just do camera enabled equals true. So what that's going to do is that's going to stop us from having to fight with each other to see who has control of the player. So if we go back to our Unity here and it reloads our scripts, let's make sure I saved everything. And we'll just go ahead and run this. So you notice here when I run it, we actually have an error at the bottom, and that's because I actually made a couple of little boo-boos here when I was working. So we're going to just fix those up real fast before we move on. The first thing is I dragged and dropped the rigid body into the observed components, which is okay. It will actually work, but we want to do something a little different. We want to actually watch the transform, not the rigid body. So I'm just going to drag my rigid body down, my transform down to my observed components to replace my rigid body. And then you'll notice it has transform serialization that has, like, you know, position, rotation, and scale. That's what we want there. So I'm just going to leave that there. And then the other thing that I accidentally made a mistake on here was I unselected camera as the object, and that's not what we wanted. We want it the other way around. We want to unselect the camera that's attached to the camera object. I know that's kind of a little bit weird, but basically we want to enable this and not the actual object. If the object isn't created, we can't find it, right? So that makes sense. So once you make those two changes and rerun it, you will now see, once I connect to my master server, it says joined up here in the corner, and now I have access and I can move my player around all nicely. So that's pretty cool. So now we kind of want to see if this is working with more than one player, right? Makes sense. So I'm just going to stop this. I'm going to go up to File. I'm going to go to Build Settings. I'll make sure that my PC and Mac standalone is selected there. It's going to ask me where I want to put it. We'll put it right here. Let's call it Demo. Click Save. And this will build out a version that we can run on our PC. Okay, so once that's gone ahead and build, we're just going to go ahead and open it up and run it. I'll just make it windowed and just shrink it down because we don't need it to be too big. And click play. And there we go. I am joined on my server and can walk around as this player. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back over and I'm going to go to and run this actually in the editor so that I can see the other guy and all that. You notice right off the bat there's a bug. This is something that you'll have to kind of play around with, but what happens is you're spawning yourself on top of yourself. So the two objects collide immediately in the world. So there is a little bit of a bug there that you can fix. But as you can see, I can kind of nudge him around. And he exists in the world, right? Give him a little nudge there. We both weigh, like, I think 1 pound, so it's not too heavy. But as you can see, if I look over here, I can actually see him moving around. But you notice, like, he's, like, chirp, 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 just jumping around. Like, it's very, very skipping, like, every frame, so to speak. So it looks very laggy and not natural. So there is a way to fix this pretty easily in code. And I think we have enough time, so I'll show you guys that now. So I'm just going to close this out. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a new script. So we'll go new C# script. I'm going to call this network cube. And I'm going to go back to my cube, my prefab here, and where it says observed component, we're going to actually drag and drop in, or we'll add the network component to the player. Since it's not being nice, we'll do it this way. There we go, network cube. And then I'm just going to drag and drop my network cube. Come on, let me do it. There we go, onto my observed component. So what this does is it's going to observe the script that's attached to the object. So if we open up our network cube, let's go reload all. Basically what we can do here is we can add a couple of functions, because when we're watching our script in Photon View, it's going to regularly throw off this on Photon serialized view. So think of it as like on GUI or update. It's going to be fired off constantly as an update, so to speak, on the object that we're observing. And in this case, it's our network cube. So we're going to add a little bit of code here. The first thing we're going to do is a new function. We'll call this one public, because we want access to it. So public void on Photon. And this is the one that gets called every time we do an update. So on serialize. On serialized view, and in here we're going to take a photon stream, so we'll take a photon stream, as well as we'll take in any messaging info that Photon wants to pass to us. So we'll say photon messaging info as info. Then inside of here, what we're going to do is we're going to check to see if the object that's calling this function is writing. So we'll say if stream.isWriting, which means we're the object that's moving. We're the ones that's sending our data. So we want to tell everybody else about our movements or whatever our update might be. So if stream is writing, we're going to say send this data to other people. So we'll say stream dot send next, because we're sending it out, and we're just going to pass in the transforms that this object's attached to its position. So we'll send our cube's position, because that's what we're attached to, and then we'll also do the same thing. So we'll do stream dot send next for our rotation. So that way, what we're doing is every time we call this on photon serialized view, we check to see where our position of our transform and rotation of our transform is, and we pass that along to anybody else that's connected. So we'll have an else if we're not the ones that are passing the information. If we're the ones that are receiving the information, what we'll do is we'll say stream, or I'm sorry, we actually have to pull in what we're going to set. So we'll say this.transform, which is actually our transform, our position is going to be set to, and we have to typecast it. So it'll be a vector 3 that we're getting. And we'll say stream.receive next. Now it's important that you keep these orders, the order of these in sync. If you don't, like if I put, you know, receive next and I was expecting position, but I actually got rotation, it's going to mess my code up pretty bad. So make sure that you keep these in order. The next one I want to do is for my rotation. So we do this.transform.rotation is now assigned to quaternion, because we want to make sure we're getting a quaternion back. So we typecast it. And then we say stream.receive next. So now, if we're listening, we're going to receive the information of the other players, where they are and what the rotation is. So that's pretty cool, but that still is not going to solve the issue of them being very jittery, of them just stuttering across the screen, skipping, so to speak. In order to do that, what we need to do is kind of do like almost an interpretation of where we think they're going to be. So we could do that various amounts of ways. We could do that through prediction, because we do know how long it takes, you know, the packets to be sent and all that. So we could do it that way. And in fact, I do that in my Smashing Cards demo. So if you want to see how it's done, check out that code where I actually do the prediction. But what we're going to do here is we're just going to do like a lighter version of it. We're going to use the lerp function. Well, basically, we're going to move the object to its position over a certain amount of time so it looks smooth. We're basically just going to push the object to where it needs to go gradually to make it look nice and smooth. So in order to do that, we're going to use the update function inside of our method. So I don't need a start, so I'm just going to get rid of that. But inside of our update function, what we're going to do, actually we should create, first before we do that, we'll create a couple of holders for us to keep the information that we've got back in a nice little holder so we can work with it. So we'll call this, first place is going to be our position, so it's a vector 3. We'll call it correct player position, so correct player pause, and then we'll do the same thing for our rotation, which is a quaternion, and we will say this is the correct player's rotation. So there we go. So now we have a holder for both of those values. So inside of our update, we're going to say if the photon view is ours, so that means if the photon view is not ours, so if we are not the player, I just noticed I left a little spot out. So you notice here I don't have access to photon view. I'm like, where is my photon view? And the reason for that is I'm still set up as a mono behavior. So I need to do the same thing that I did before and change this from a mono behavior to a photon dot mono behavior. So this will give me access to the things that photon has. And one of those happens to be the photon view. So now I actually have access to the photon view that is connected to that object. So I say, if the photon view is not mine, meaning I am not the owner of this view, the transform position, so this will be for the other person, is now going to be vector 3. Dot lerp, which is awesome since we have access to the lerp function and don't need to write that ourselves. We can say transform dot position. So that's basically where we are and where we want to go to is next. So we'll say where we want to go to next is going to be this dot correct player's position. And then we want to do the amount of time that it takes. So float t is the time. So we'll say time dot delta, which gives us the time that's just passed since the last update, times 5 to smooth it out a little bit. And there we go. That'll set up our transform's position. So now what we're going to do is the same thing for the rotation. So we'll do transform dot rotation is now going to be set to a quaternion. And we're going to use the lerp function in quaternion. Again, what our rotation is starting from, so transform.rotation. where we want to rotate to. So this.correct player's rotation. And then the amount of time. Again, it'll be time.delta. Time. Oh. Screen's a little small, so delta. Delta time times 5. So we have a nice little smooth movement there. Perfect. Now, what we need to do is we need to make a change to the content coming in. In order to do that, we'll go up here to where it says else, and we're going to change this from this.transform position to being this.correct player position for our position. So we'll do this.correct player position, and then we'll do the same thing for the rotation. If we set this to correct player rotation. So now when we receive data, we're going to receive where they are, and then we're going to move them based on where they were last time to where they are currently now in the last update based on how much time has passed. So now, I'm just going to close this out. We'll go back to our demo. So I'm just going to do a quick build out so that we can have the changes in our clients. So I'll do build and run, which will build it out and run it for me on my Windows build. And fingers crossed everything works well. We'll click play here. And he's going to join into a room. There he is. We'll move him around. We're going to have that little bug where he's going to appear to slam into each other right off the bat. And something you guys can figure out later. But you'll notice right off the bat there, even when it came into the screen, I don't know how that looked on the feed there, but it'll be nice and smooth as he falls in from the sky. And then as I move my player around, let's get them kind of near each other here so we can see what's going on. If I move my player around, if you look down here in the other screen, see how smooth he's moving? No more of that jittering, no more of that sudden, you know, quirkiness. He just moves. Nice and easy. So there you go, that's one simple method to smooth out the movement. One thing you'll know as you get deeper and deeper into this, more and more issues are going to pop up, and you kind of have to deal with them as you go. But I think this is a really good starting point. You should be able to, you know, kind of build off of this. And like I said, I will share out the code from the demo that we showed you in the smashing carts, where I kind of bumped into a lot of these issues, like having to predict where the movements are and stuff. Because when you have cars moving around, they move pretty quick, so LERT may not work the best. As well as other things like how to set up rooms, how to create a UI and stuff like that. So feel free to download that, rip through it, and kind of use it as a learning tool. There's also a lot of really, really good resources out there on Photon. Some do cost a little bit of money. You can find tutorials in the asset store for around $25, but they are pretty robust and get you through a lot of the hurdles that you might bump into. There's also some great write-ups in as well on the forums and stuff like that to check out. So there's a lot of help out there. Hopefully this is, like I said, will give you a good starting point and get your multiplayer game up and running on Azure. Feel free to reach out to us with any questions and stuff. You can get me at Twitter at ScruffyFern or at CDNDevs. We'll be listening there as well. So yeah, reach out to us. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to help you. Thank you very much and happy coding.